Hello and welcome to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word, which is a hand car washing business in Churchill, located on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. There we work hard to earn our money to support this ministry and to support this business, and we ask for your support, not by your donations or your tithes, but simply by coming by and letting us work hard to earn our money. We do this because we don't want to peddle the Word of God. We want to settle it. And that is what we do with these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. We settle the truth of God's Word. We get it all out there, every bit of it, the entire counsel of God's Word. That's what verse-by-verse Bible teaching does. And we pray that as these words go forward, they're affecting your life and they're causing you to think more and more about our Lord Jesus. So let us pick up in chapter 12. We're, as we mentioned a couple of messages ago, we're looking at four things in the chapter 12 of the Gospel of John. And the four things are the anointing, an objection, a rebuking, and a gathering. Now, we looked at the anointing a couple of messages ago where Mary came in and gave everything that she had and everything that she was to Jesus by anointing his feet with the expensive perfume. But then a moment after she did that, we see the objection. And that, of course, is Judas Iscariot objecting to the expense of this perfume being poured out, almost like a drink offering. And we also know from this scripture and others that Judas didn't care about the poor. He didn't care about the money going to help other people. He was a thief stealing from the treasure. And because of that, he objected to this great waste of quote-unquote money. And so his rejection doesn't go unnoticed. And we ended by talking about how sin leads to sin. It starts off small, but it leads to more and more sin. And I want to pick up where we left off because there's a second part of this sin leading to sin that I want to talk about. And remember, we mentioned 2 Corinthians 10:5, which says that we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And I want to bring that scripture out because I want to call you on something. You know, we claim that we don't have control over our thoughts. And in a way, there's some truth to that. But let me clarify something. You don't have control, over the thoughts that pop into your head. Because we live in a fallen world with a fallen nature, and everywhere you look, there is some kind of sensuality, sexuality, some sort of a perversion, debauchery. I mean, just everywhere you look, we're just inundated with anti-biblical truth. And so, there are going to be things that pop into your head that make you shudder. I don't care if you're the pastor of the largest church in the world, you're going to have those thoughts. So, yes, even though it says we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ, those thoughts are going to pop into your mind. He doesn't say we get rid of all thoughts or we don't allow them. He says you take them captive. So here's what you have to do the next time you get one of those thoughts, whether it be about lusting after a member of the opposite sex or thinking of doing whatever it is that you know is to be anti-biblical. Instead of dwelling on that thought, because the moment you start dwelling on it and start playing it out in your mind, you've already been defeated. Take the thought immediately and make it captive to Christ. Give it to Jesus. Say, Lord, I just had this bad thought. Take it from me. Get my mind back on you. And do this with every single thought, and we won't become a victim of the rationalization and the playing out, because that's what happens. The thought becomes an action in your mind, and then it becomes an action in your hand. And listen, never weigh the punishment or the penalty of sin with the pleasure of it. Let me say that again. Do not weigh the punishment or penalty of sin with the pleasure of it. Because I guarantee you, the devil will always make the pleasure of the sin seem way better than the possible consequences. And why does he do that? Because that's his goal. His goal is to get you to sin. And you can't weigh the consequences against the pleasure of it. And the reason you can't do that is because you cannot weigh something against nothing and have the nothing weigh more. Let me say that again. You can't weigh something against nothing and have the nothing weigh more. In other words, weighing pleasure with penalty is foolish. Because as a Christian, there is no punishment or penalty for your sin. Did you know that? That may sound a little unbiblical, doesn't it? But listen, I didn't say there aren't consequences. And this is where a lot of us get a little tripped up. There is no punishment or penalty for your sin, Christian, those who have accepted Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, past, present, and future. Your penalty has been paid on the cross with the blood of Christ. But there are consequences. Do you see the difference? You cannot sin without consequences. Your penalty is essentially your consequences, but you will not carry that penalty or that punishment into eternal life. Jesus paid for your penalty of your sins. So a weigh-in, such as the one we just talked about, is not going to weigh properly because it is going to be all pleasure-based. In other words, if you try to weigh the punishment or the penalty against the pleasure is always going to win because the pleasure has weight to it. Because there is no penalty and there is no punishment for your sin. So as a Christian, you can't entertain these thoughts because you can't possibly put a weight against the pleasure that's heavier than the pleasure. Does that make sense? Because the only thing you can weigh against the pleasure of your sin would be the weight of a penalty or the weight of a punishment. And since Christ took that, you're weighing nothing against something, and the something is always going to weigh more. So the devil is going to make the pleasure always higher and weightier than your punishment. So if you do a weigh-in such as this, it is going to be pleasure-based heavyweight. So let me give you some advice. If you want your punishment or penalty, or more appropriately, your consequences, if you want to add some weight to that side of the battle in your mind as to whether or not you should do that pleasurable sin, if you want the punishment, penalty, slash consequences to have some weight in your mind battle, how about thinking about it like this? How about you put over onto that side of the scale where there is no punishment and penalty because of Christ's suffering and death and resurrection? How about over on that side you put this, that every willful sin you commit is another lash across Jesus' back. It's another ribbon of flesh that you create. Or every sin that you entertain and willfully do, even though you have no weight of the penalty and the punishment because of Christ on the side, and all the weight of the pleasure is weighing it down as a favorable thing to do, how about instead of the penalty and punishment, you put on that scale that every time your willful sin wins, you take another pound of the hammer driving the nail through his skin? How about for every willful sin, you're pushing down and twisting the crown of thorns on his head? And how about for every willful sin that he paid the punishment and penalty for is another punch in his face, or a spat upon him, or another spear in his sides? Do you understand that even though you don't pay a penalty for your sin, Jesus pays that penalty every time you sin? And your consequence of those willful sins is a broken fellowship. And when you weigh those sins on a scale and the pleasure of that sin is so much heavier than the non-existent penalty because of Christ's blood, all it takes, no matter how much weight that pleasure has brought down, all it takes is one drop of his blood onto that side of the scale. And just like that, the entire scale switches in balance. Because no sin is too heavy for a drop of Christ's blood. And friends, that is what salvation means. That is what it is. It returns the weight of sin back to the glory of God. It removes it. And the blood that is there changing the balance of the scales was not without its own sacrifice. And that is the new motivation of a Christian. It isn't weighing the penalty and the punishment or even the consequence of a sin with the pleasure of a sin, because the pleasure will always win. Your new motivation as a Christian is breaking the heart of Jesus Christ with that sin. It is breaking the fellowship of being one with Christ in spirit. Judas Iscariot was a thief first. And the supernatural realm was communicating to the natural. And it was telling him that Jesus' time was close. It was telling Mary that Jesus' time was close. But the supernatural realm is not limited strictly to the Holy Spirit and to the things of God. The supernatural Holy Spirit was telling Mary and the supernatural demonic spirits were talking to Judas. And so they both knew that Jesus' time was coming, but there is a supernatural battle taking place. And depending on which side we fall on is dependent on which side we listen to. Because there is supernatural, the supernatural realm is constantly communicating with the natural realm. And the difference is whether you're listening to the Holy Spirit or you're listening to the demonic realm of power. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciousnesses are corrupted." So if you're already a non-believer or you have no regard for Christ and the resurrection, you're going to listen to a supernatural voice that's leading you down a dark path. But if you are pure, all things are pure. Just as sin leads to more sin, purity leads to more purity. It's the same knowledge. We're getting the same information from a supernatural source, just different results. And when you see the anointing of Mary and the objection of Judas, we see two different reactions and two different results. And they're both at the opposite ends of the spectrum. Mary went on to be a pillar in the early church. She was the first witness of the resurrection. And Judas, well, he went on to become a tree ornament. And he spent the rest of his life just hanging around. I guess that's where we get the saying, no news is good news. Okay, enough stupid jokes. These two characters represent the spiritual war that we undergo daily. You see, God moves and the devil counter moves. It's a spiritual game of chess. And yes, you and I are the pawns. So how do we win? How do we make sure that the thoughts of the Lord outweigh the thoughts of the devil? Food. The answer is food. Because whatever nature you feed the most, that is going to be the strongest nature. And don't just agree with me. Go and do it. Go and feed the spiritual nature more and stop feeding the sinful nature so much. Judas, he fed the wrong nature. And the one thing we can learn from him is that we should never be surprised at the depths of human depravity. But also, we should never be surprised at the heights of the infinite power of God and what that power can do in and through your life. So friends, we've looked at the anointing of Mary. We've looked at the objection of Judas Iscariot. And next, we're going to look at the third of the four things that we're looking at in chapter 12, and that is going to be the rebuking. So we've seen an anointing and objecting. Now, next sermon, we're going to look at the rebuking and then finally the gathering. So join me again tomorrow right here on WMCH at 8:30 a.m., Monday through Friday. We do these messages on a verse-by-verse format here. We also do them on 107.1 FM. They transmit over a small FM transmitter in the parking lot of the Wash and Word. You can listen to them in your car radio while you're getting your car washed, or even if you're just hanging out in the parking lot eating your pals. Of course, Pals is a restaurant. It's not a zombie thing. Don't eat your pal, by the way. That's your public service announcement. Don't eat your pal. Have a blessed day.